listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from the song, God Leads Us Along. Reading the third stanza. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen.
Listen again to the words of the song. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Reading today from Romans chapter 8, God's holy, inspired word, God inspiring Paul to write through this church, and with a message that he knew we would be reading these many, many hundreds of years later, as applicable for us now as it was for Paul and for the church at Rome then. Beginning to read verse 28 in Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So far we read God's holy word. The rest of the chapter states also of our union with Christ, and nothing can separate us from it. As the last verse states, not height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's come before God in His name, giving thanks and begging for that which is so much needed. Our Father, we do give thanks for Thy giving Christ, so loving the world that Thou dost give Him, Thine only begotten Son. We pray, Father, that because of Him Thou wilt send Thy Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth that we need to know in repentance, in faith, in the way of obedience, in the way also of doctrine, to learn those things, Father, that are taught here in Scripture, those things that are to the glory of Thy name, to the glory of Thy grace, to show us that salvation is all by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. We pray, Father, that as we study these words here, that we may not only have understanding of that, but we might be made willing to submit to the truth of these words. We pray, Father, for all of the church to be taught together, that it might soon be one in the truth, to believe it, and then, Father, one in the truth, to make it known to the rest of the world. And as Thou hast prayed, Lord Jesus, that they might be one, that the world will know that Thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We think of all the confusion now in both doctrine and the ways of obedience or disobedience, the ways that many think are allowed and others think are forbidden. We pray that Thou would teach us with Thy word and Spirit through Christ and because of Him. We pray, Father, Thou would not leave us go further from the unwillingness to endure sound doctrine and to heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears. We pray, Father, Thou would not leave us as a nation to go further and further into the ways of disobedience in such terrible ways. And, Father, the church with the world and with the nation we fear, losing its salt, becoming a salt that hath lost its savor, and being trodden under foot of men. Thy word telling us that, Lord Jesus. We give thanks also for the natural blessings that we have received in nature when others are in suffering and hunger, starvation. We pray for those that are homeless. We pray especially for those in the war-torn lands and the terribleness of it. We pray that peace might come through the gospel of Christ. We pray for those in sickness, those in injury, those, Father, in pain, that there may be healing. There also may be teaching through these afflictions. We pray for the troubled and broken homes, that they might be healed. We pray for the elderly. We pray for the lonesome. We pray for those in sorrow. We ask, Father, for thy comfort in every way and every place needed through Christ. Amen. As we continue looking at some of the things in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, we certainly have not looked at all of them, and we could spend the rest of a lifetime doing study in this book if we wanted to take everything that was here. We have seen the plain teaching of sin. There is none that does good, no, not one. The awfulness of sin described, the tongue, the throat is an open sepulcher. And summing it up, there is no fear of God for our eyes. And Father, that is the way of us naturally, all of us, everyone, in our natural condition. Before God opens eyes by His Spirit, the new birth, to see the kingdom of God. And we need that. There is that definite difference in the life of each child of God. In the beginning, left to ourselves, dead in sin. Then, as Paul said to the Ephesians, you hath he quickened together with Christ. We are told that we are predestinated. It is a word that is probably hated as much as any word in the Bible by many. Some speak of not only predestination, but other words that are used to describe the same blessing, and it is a blessing. Mark that, it is a blessing. It's a blessing to me. I wouldn't be speaking to you if that predestination wasn't there. I would still be going about my own ways. I would still be dead in sin. I would still be left to my own wicked, proud choice. God planned it. He planned it before He did it. And He did it according to His plan. And He may well call it predestination. I sometimes think that people hate that word worse than they hate the word damned. People seem to think, well, if somebody's damned, it's their own fault. Christ said, if he that believeth not shall be damned. But predestination is God's grace, God's choosing, God's doing what he said here as we read, whom he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he predestined, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Some people think it's totally unfair, but just think of this for a moment. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Would we do that naturally? Isaiah says, when we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Do we want to be like Christ naturally? Do we want to hear his words concerning us? Those that were there with him. Not even the apostles would listen as they should have. The Lord Jesus had to say to them, are you also yet without understanding? Even when the Lord Jesus spoke of the gospel, the message of his death, suffering, burial, resurrection, said to the apostles it was going to take place. Peter said, be this far from you. This will not be unto you. The Lord Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You do not savor the things that be of God. And that's our natural condition. We do not savor or understand or receive the things that be of God. Isaiah states it simply, or God says it through the pen of Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. We didn't glibly repeat that, but do we know it? Or are we like those that God speaks to by the pen of the psalmist in Psalm 50 when he says, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. If we think God agrees with us, if we think God accepts us as we are, then we have no problem. But then we think God is like we are. Let's think again for a moment. Why must there be predestination? What have we read in God's Word in recent weeks? From Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans 3. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did seek God, and there was none. Paul states it in Romans 3, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. That describes you and me and everyone else. Jew and Gentile, in the church, in the world, in every place. We can be born in the best environment. We can be given the most. Paul asked, what advantage hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? His answer is, much every way to them were given the oracles of God, or the scriptures. But did they believe them? No. Would they believe them concerning the coming of the Messiah, and that the word was fulfilled when he came? No. They killed him. They rejected him. He is rejected and despised of men. And yet we think, I chose Christ. Only after he makes it known that he chooses us. And in the process, he tells us that we didn't. Have you ever learned that? Christ said when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believed not on me. That's the work of the Spirit to each one of us. That's part of his opening our eyes, opening our hearts, opening it to the hardness of our heart, the blindness of our eyes, the pride that we have. The Spirit is teaching us that, along with giving us the new birth that makes us to see the kingdom of God. Where are we when we first see it? Like Paul, on the outside, kicking against the pricks, not wanting God's way in Christ, in the Messiah, the one who Paul and his fellow Pharisees claimed they were waiting for, hoping to come, he said as he was before Agrippa, Acts 26. But when he did come, they refused him. They hated him. They hated him for what he said, what he taught. And he only taught the truth. The truth. And we have the truth here, as Paul is inspired to write it. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Some would like to interpret that foreknow as if God foreknew that some were different than others. Some would want to be conformed to the image of Christ and others would not. But we've just mentioned those scriptures that say there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. God looked, and there was none. So his foreknowledge doesn't say there's some. His foreknowledge says there's none. Do we believe that? No, many don't. God knew that I would choose him. That's why he predestined. That's why he elected. No, 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 no. That's not the scripture. We have this word predestined used here in two ways, two places. One, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Actually, when he makes us conform to his image, that is really between the time that we're justified and glorified, as we read it in the 30th verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Twice he used the word called. Them he also called. Those that he did predestinate. He did predetermine that he was going to do this. When we read Ephesians 1, we can see that he did this already before the foundation of the world. And we'll read that in a moment if we have time. But here, them he also called. Eternity he planned it. He planned, like he could say of Paul, he's a chosen vessel unto me. He had chosen him long before. And in that time, described in Acts chapter 9, repeated in Acts chapter 22, and Paul referring to it again before Agrippa in Acts 26, then he was called, stopped, taught, saved, justified, we read here, twice. Them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. We mentioned it last week, an unbreakable chain. God's plan, God's doing in time, and God's glorifying throughout eternity. God's word. Don't try to rush it. Don't try to find excuses. As one man, when I asked if he believed this, he said, no. I said, how do you deal with it? How do you get around it when it's in the Word of God? He said, pretty hard sometimes. Yes, it's hard to go against the truth. It's hard to try to make a lie instead of the truth. It's arresting the Word of God. It's hard labor. And that's why when we find out that it was true, that we had that hard labor, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. All the sin of unbelief, as well as all the sin of disobedience, all there. And our sin of unbelief is partly because of our disobedience that we do not want to acknowledge. We do not want to admit it is as God said it. So terrible. So worthy of punishment. And that punishment is, as Christ said to the learned Jews, how will you escape the damnation of hell? Plain words. Plain truth, and there was no escape when they didn't believe on him, when they became angry and then crucified him shortly afterwards. No hope in their present state. They had to be as Paul, and now he could write it. He could write it to those at Rome and write it to us today. Yes, as I said, we will also read it from Ephesians chapter 1. There we read the word also twice. Verse 5 of chapter 1, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And then continuing in the 6th verse, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Having predestinated us. He also uses the word chosen in this setting, this context, going back to verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ. Some want to say, well, we choose Christ and then God chooses us as with Christ. But I believe it is choosing us to be in him, choosing us to bring us to him, as he brings out more clearly in the 5th verse, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Adopting us, as we said last week, out of the family of Satan. As Christ said to the Jews, you are of your father the devil. And as he said to the Ephesians here in the next chapter, chapter 2, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he says, we all had our conversation there in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, worthy of God's wrath. Not he seeing a willingness in us, he's seeing us going contrary, walking the other way. And then God stopping us. But going back for a moment to the other time that God used the word, yes, God used it. God gave it, not just Paul. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, speaks of Christ in verse 10, all things in one in Christ. And then in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I read this week in a book called Predestination, and in it a letter from a person that studied the confessions that explained this doctrine. And here's what she wrote to a pastor. Please forgive me for my breaking in your vacation in preparing some programs for our young people next fall. I have been reading over various historic confessions. They really have me upset. Though I was brought up in the church all my life, I never knew that there were still churches that were officially on record believing the whole business about predestination and election. This is just the first paragraph of her letter. Time won't permit the whole thing. But reading his answer, and also in part, your letter indicates that you were shocked to discover that in this day and age, any church should still profess to believe that God arbitrarily and for his reason saves some people and sends others to hell. I'm not sure how good a description that is of the traditional doctrine, Christian doctrine of predestination and election, which is bothering you. What bothers me is the fact that you were brought up in the church all your life without realizing that this is an essential role and doctrines in Christian history. That's where we are today. We have been for some time. It was there in the Great Awakening. But read God's Word. Bow to God's Word. Receive God's Word and receive the message of a true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, by which we can be saved.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.